There's a lot of chatter going around that's incorrect concerning the grace assemblies, the grace group. A lot of it is via the internet, whether it's Facebook or individual sites that's starting to come about. That part of the problem is words that appear in your Bible and not a distinction between them, as in the word gospel, first mentioned, I think, in Matthew 4, maybe. I didn't check it out, but I know it's Christ went into the synagogue preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It appears there. And then you see the word gospel in Paul's writings. And so, yeah, it's the same word, but you have to know the application of it in its context. And so that's some of the problem that's taking place today, in that there are words that are duplicated through the different ministries, but they have different meanings, different doctrines associated with them. And consequently, by not rightly dividing and understanding the word in its context to the body of Christ, the word in its context to maybe the New Testament church or those under Peter, whichever way you want to phrase it, or a word that goes into the Old Testament. If you don't understand its application towards those different situations, you can easily cross them up and get confusion. If you would, look in Ephesians chapter 1. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Well, I see something there. I see that there is redemption through His blood. Now, the word redemption has several different definitions to it. It means to ransom or deliver. I got that out of the Greek Concordance, if that helps you any, but that's where I got that from. However, I have a Webster's Dictionary, and I looked it up there, and it meant to buy back or to get back, to set free, to rescue, to deliver from sins and its penalties. And so it gives you a pretty good detailed description out of Webster's what redeem or redemption is. So if we talk about redeem, redeemed, past tense, redemption, it all holds the same definition, even though it's past, present, and future tense and those type things. It still has its definition rooted in what I just read to you. To deliver from sins and its penalty, to set free, to deliver, to ransom. So it carries all those definitions. However, it also shows up in other places, like, for instance, if you would, turn to 1 Peter. And look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." So we see redeemed here. And it also connects with the blood of Christ, as it did in Ephesians. So consequently, as I started the whole study off by saying that what is happening is people are seeing the same word, and in its superficial appearance, it looks like they're talking about the same thing. In other words, they will not from that point, because they see redeemed by the blood of Christ by Paul, redeemed by the blood of Christ by Peter, they'll start drawing off of Paul's doctrine that all of Paul's doctrine is connected to Peter, and wind up sort of what I call retrofitting, retro, to go back. In other words, fit Paul's doctrine back to Peter and them's message. And that's what they do, and consequently it causes a lot of confusion. But you have got to understand the context of this redemption concerning the blood of Christ. And that's what I want to try to get across tonight. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Look at Matthew 24. We want to take a look concerning leaning more towards Peter and his, I guess, doctrine, or what he was instructed with by the Lord in Matthew 24. Look, if you will, look in verse 3. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, When shall these things be, and what shall the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So they want to know some things about the end time. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So we see a situation that's coming. And look, just put your mind in the place of where the apostles were at this time. They want to know what's the signs of the coming, how's the end of the world going to come about. And then all of a sudden the Lord lays this on them. And you've got to understand that they probably were very nervous at this point in juncture, realizing what's coming. But that wasn't even the so-called cherry on the top of what's coming. Look in verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So here we see him talking about, in verse 15, the abomination of desolation. So if we go on the board here, typical drawing here, the X representing the beginning of Christ's ministry to the crucifixion. Well, right prior to the cross is where he is addressing them on what's coming up. And so what did he talk about there? Well, he addressed the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Well, Daniel the prophet was addressing a certain man, a king that is going to rise up, and he's going to put down all the other kingdoms, and he's going to become the big king that's going to rise over all them, and that is the man that's going to turn out being the Antichrist. And so he's saying, when you see that happen, when he causes the sacrifices in the temple to stop, to cease, then you better run, because that's the man. Okay, get out, move it, get out. And he told them, flee to the mountains, pray that it's not winter, pray that it's not on the Sabbath. Woe unto those that have the infants that are suckling, what have you. He's warning them of the abomination of desolation coming. Now, isn't it ironic? We're out here in the future, we're reading about it. We're 2,000 years from that point in time. Has the abomination of desolation taken place?
No,
it has not. So then, if that be the case, what is he doing warning them of the abomination of desolation? Well, he's doing it because based upon the prophetic time chart, it was supposed to come into play. This thing would have played out like this. In other words, they would have rejected their Messiah. They were already under the rulership of Rome. They were not liberated by anybody. They were under Rome's rule. They crucified the Lord. He's buried and obviously rose and he's ascended up. Well, the next step that was going to take place is the things that would come to pass. In other words, in verses, Matthew 24, we read them in verses 3 through 12. All of those things would start taking place. And then as it went on, verse 15 would take place, the abomination of desolation would take place, and then as that takes place, the Lord would have returned and saved Israel. So, however, that prophetic program did not take place. So anyhow, he laid all that out on what is fixing to come. They asked him about it, And he gave all that to them, but that did not take place. The abomination of desolation did not take place. The reason being is, first of all, they rejected the Lord. That's Israel. They rejected the Lord. However, the Lord raised up the disciples and would have proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, as Christ did, and called them to repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Israel would have repented on a national level, then the Antichrist would have come in and got into his program. In other words, this is the day of tribulation. This is what should have been taking place according to the prophetic time chart there. So consequently, it didn't. Jesus Christ goes to the cross. He dies on the cross. Peter writes 1 Peter. And I don't mean that he wrote it right after the death of Jesus Christ. I'm not exactly sure when he wrote it. However, the important part is 1 Peter was written after the death of Christ. Suffice it to know that, okay? And so consequently, what does Peter say? That you were not redeemed with silver and gold, on and on, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. So then after the cross of Christ, these people were redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. Well, I can tell you this, that is a spiritual redemption. In other words, it's a spiritual redemption for them, the blood shed for them. However, there's a condition associated with it. In other words, Christ shed his blood and redeemed them with his blood. However, they would have had to endure the persecutions that we read about right there in chapter 24. For instance, let's try it, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, he is addressing once again the disciples here. So when he says, and shall kill you, who is he talking to? He's not talking to the church, the body of Christ, or anybody else. Context. Keep it in context. And he shall be hated, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that it shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So an individual had to go through the persecution here in order for them to be saved, even if it cost their life. If it cost them their life, they endured unto the end, and hence they were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? So the blood of Jesus Christ was a spiritual application. However, this program didn't work because Israel didn't repent. It did not repent. It doesn't change the fact that those saints in this early time frame were not redeemed by the blood of Christ. They were. It's just this program was not carried out. The tribulation did not take place there. So, consequently, you've got the church, the body of Christ. We're going to skip that for now, and then we're going to go forward, and church is going to end with the rapture, and then the Lord will return. Well, in here, you're going to have the 7 years of tribulation. What's going to happen in that time? Everything that you read about in Matthew 24 back here that we read about that should have happened here, but it didn't, it's going to happen here. So what was taught here will be applied over here. They're going to go through the same thing. Persecution, they're going to be killed. Not all of them. How do I know? Watch. Look in verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Therefore, will some be saved? If it wasn't shortened, no flesh will. But for the elect's sake, it shall be shortened. So I know that there'll be some in here that will lose their life. I know that there'll be some in here that will make it. make it through tribulation. They're going to live through the tribulation. Look in Luke chapter 21. When you get Luke 21, go back to 1 Peter and hold 1 Peter. We're going to read Luke first. So get Luke 21. We'll read Luke first and then 1 Peter chapter 1, where we had read. But we want to go to 1 Peter. Wait, hold 1 Peter chapter 1. We want to go to Luke chapter 21. I don't know what I'm saying. Luke and 1 Peter, period. Luke 21. All right, look in verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. We kind of heard this before, didn't we? And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon his people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So anyhow, he's talking about that same time frame that we read in Matthew 24. That was supposed to take place here. But it didn't. Look in, we're going to keep reading, verse 25. And then shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts fell in them for fear. That's pretty frightening. I mean, think that men all over will be dropping dead from cardiac arrest, right? Based upon fear. For looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and for the powers of heaven, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And so he gives all these signs of the return of the Lord. Well, folks, the return of the Lord didn't come here, did it? Not here. So we can take that out. We know then that all of the prophecy, both in Old Testament and what the Lord was quoting here in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, should have taken place here. It was based upon Israel repenting and receiving the Lord and then going forward into that time of tribulation. They didn't do that. So God brings in this master plan, which we'll get to in just a minute. However, we know then that all those things that he spoke of back here are then going to be carried after the rapture of the church. Is going to take place in a future time, which, by the way, we don't have to worry about. We'll be out of here before that time comes, just to throw that in there. However, I do want to make note here. This is why I had you hold 1 Peter. In Luke 21, verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, look in 1 Peter chapter 1, once again, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Well, Peter, I thought that the redemption was yet to come. According to Luke 21, verse 28, it's when the Lord returns, he said, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. But in Peter, in his writing, he said they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Something don't fit there. But you see, I can't go to 1 Peter and see redemption there by the blood of Christ and then go to Luke 21 and see where the redemption draweth nigh, because they're two of the same words. Put them together in the same doctrine. They don't fit. Because one says you have been redeemed by the blood. The other one says, when the Lord returns, you'll be redeemed. Your redemption draweth nigh. And that's what happens. People use these verses and make the same application. It doesn't fit. So then what are we talking about? Well, I know then that the redemption by the blood of Christ is a spiritual redemption. But when you look at the persecution they got to go through over here, the redemption over here is physical. It's a physical redemption. In other words, they're going to be in a, I don't want to say a bad situation, just in the tribulation, under the subjection of the Antichrist. And the Lord told them to flee to save yourself. Some will be killed. Others will not. Now, He will redeem them by returning to this earth. Look in Romans chapter 11. Look in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. We'll start in verse 3. For they, that's Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Here we go. Romans 11, verse 26. Let's try this. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And so consequently, they'll be under the attack of the Antichrist, and so some will die. Others will live. They're going to look up. When you see the Son of Man cometh, then your redemption draweth nigh. Well, once again, redemption has to do with a ransom. It has to do with deliverance. It has to do with being set free or rescued. All of these definitions apply to redemption. So consequently, they're going to be redeemed physically from the Antichrist to go into this kingdom. However, those that were believers back here and those that believe over here are redeemed by the blood of Christ. There's just one little detail we got to do here. Between here, spiritual, and here, physical, is a little bitty thing called endure. In other words, if they are redeemed by the blood of Christ, they've got to endure the persecution to be redeemed physically. If they don't endure to the end, they're not going into the kingdom. You understand? It's a condition that they've got to endure the tribulation so that they can go into the kingdom. These here, they had persecution brought upon them. Stephen is an account. James is an account. Peter would have been, but the angel of the Lord delivered him and saved him. They endured the physical persecution that came upon them. Redeemed by the blood of Christ, have to go through the physical persecution. They have to endure. Consequently, those saints that died back here in the faith and for the faith will be resurrected into the kingdom over here. Those saints that'll be in this tribulation time, some will be killed for their faith, so they will be redeemed by the blood of Christ. It'll be applied to them, but they've also endured. So consequently, they die here, well, they're going to be resurrected also and go into the kingdom. There are others that will make it through the tribulation and survive it, and they're going right into the tribulation. They will have endured the Antichrist by hiding out and practically starving, but nonetheless, they get through the tribulation. So then, they too are redeemed by the blood and redeemed physically, because when this takes place, all of this stuff that was in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, he told them, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. When what? The Lord returns. And when he returns, he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. He will deliver them. So they will be redeemed from the ungodliness of the Antichrist to go into the kingdom. Now, with that said, once again, go to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 1. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, look in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Well then, I know that we have redemption through His blood. Isn't that what Peter told them in 1 Peter chapter 1? We have redemption, not according to silver and gold, but the precious blood of the Lamb. Paul writes the same thing. So then we have redemption that took place here. And so consequently, that redemption has to do, once like this one here, it's a spiritual redemption. And so it's mentioned, look in Colossians chapter 1. Look over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Colossians 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So then, do we have redemption when we trust in Christ? He said, yeah. True, we have redemption. We read two verses that said we have redemption through His blood. Now watch. This is what stumps them. Look in Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians. Go to chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, there it is again, of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. So He's telling you, until the redemption. Well, there's a redemption yet in the future, isn't it? So we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But there's still a redemption in the future. Look in Ephesians. You're there. Go to chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you sealed unto the day of redemption. So then Paul talks about, we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I know that's a spiritual redemption. But he's also talking about being sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, guess what, folks? That's a physical. Why? Because there'll be some of us that when the Lord returns for the church, not this return, but from the church when he comes down in the clouds, there'll be some that will be alive and remain. So consequently, if we're alive and remain, guess what kind of bodies we got? We got physical bodies. So it's a day of redemption. What is he redeeming? He is rescuing us from the wrath yet to come. Paul said to the Thessalonians, we have not been appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be redeemed out of this world, brought back, saved, rescued out of this world and the coming tribulation by Jesus Christ. So consequently, I've got two redemptions that's working here. One's spiritual, one's physical. But unlike enduring here, for them to have this applied to them into this kingdom here, they had to endure the physical punishment. And consequently, they would be redeemed if they endured the physical punishment. The blood of Christ would be applied to those under Peter and them, and these tribulation saints. The blood would apply to them, but they've got to endure unto the end, and the same shall be saved. So when they go through this tribulation, they've got to endure the persecution. And if they endure, then they're redeemed into the kingdom. I mean, it works, folks. Look in Exodus. Look back in Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15. In Exodus 15, verse 11. Exodus 15, 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Once again, verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Well, what did he deliver them from? Well, the account there has to do with them coming out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. He redeemed them out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and he swallowed up the Egyptian army that pursued them. Hence, he redeemed them. So they were physically redeemed. Now, the blood of the Lamb was their spiritual application. But nonetheless, they were redeemed there. So you've got to understand the context of where words in your Bible fall and to whom it falls to. So then, These under Peter, once again, getting a little repetitious here, were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The tribulation didn't come, but they still had to endure persecution. By the way, the head of the persecution, who was Paul, exactly, Saul. Saul headed it up, and so they had to, he wreaked havoc on the church at that time. And so those that died, they endured it. They endured it, so the blood applied here, and since they endured it, they endured the physical side, and they're going to wind up being resurrected here. These that endure the physical side, the blood will apply to them, and they will go in the redemption that they have with God Almighty. Us, we trust in Jesus Christ. Hence, we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. We read two verses of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. Then we read about the day of redemption. So then we know that there's a day of redemption. It's got to be physical. I mean, we're already saved spiritually. We're in Christ Jesus. We're new creatures in Christ. All of our sins been forgiven, but there's a day of redemption. You gotta understand and keep to the definition. It has to do with deliver, ransom, buy back, take up, take out a bad situation. That's what He's gonna do for us. He's gonna deliver us from the wrath that is to come. But there's one thing that connects these two that didn't connect these two. And back to Ephesians now, and we'll take a look at it. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Back to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll see what connects the spiritual redemption and the physical redemption for us. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Folks, once we believe, we're redeemed by the blood, and those of us that are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord will physically be redeemed at the day of redemption, and between those two is sealed. Peter never said that, because they had to endure. We trust, we believe. Someone holds a gun to your head and you go, I don't believe in the Lord, you still have salvation. These people, they believed, the blood of Christ redeemed them, but they had to endure. They had to face the stoning as Stephen did. And so consequently, when the Lord returns, those that look up and see the Lord return, know that your redemption draweth nigh. So they know He shall come and deliver Israel physically from ungodliness, the Antichrist, and all happily go into the kingdom. They take the mark, and there will be Jews that will take the mark. Consequently, they've got to endure to go in there. So, I know that's a lot. Maybe I should have broke it down. Whatever. But, that's it.